Tape identification. Today is Thursday, the 18th of February 2010, and I'm at the house of Dale Golder in Nio, and we're just going to talk about her time as a teacher at the Oharu Valley School. So welcome, Dale.
Thank you.
Would you like to begin just telling a wee bit about yourself and leading up to your time becoming a teacher?
Well, I was born in Whanganui very many years ago and went to the same school for 8 years and then on to Whanganui Girls College and then on to Christchurch Teachers College and Canterbury University. And then I went back to Whanganui for my PA year and taught at the school that I had been at for 8 years and worked with the teachers who taught me in the primers and the teacher who taught me in Form 2, which was really funny because I found it hard to call them by their Christian names, although I got used to it. And then I, it was quite hard to get jobs in those days, and so I ended up in Fielding and taught there for 2 years. And from there I went to Masterton, and where my grandmother lived with my aunt and uncle and my cousins, and so I was able to live with them, which was wonderful. And I taught at the normal school, which is now not there. It was demolished quite a few years ago, but it was a very old wooden building in the middle of the town, and had a wonderful time there. Joined the little theatre and met my husband, and was married, and then we went to Makuri, which is about 20 miles out of Pahiatua, a small country school. And when we went there, the house was 100 years old, and the laundry was outside and the toilet was outside, so one had to go down steps in the night and go to and no lights. And the school, there was just one building. It was a sole charge when we went there. But the people in Kanua and another area nearby had their children on correspondence because they hadn't liked the teachers. Anyway, they saw that my husband wore a tie and decided to try the school out. And so we ended up as a three-teacher school there. And we built a swimming pool and we got a new house started. It takes about 5 years, in those days, took 5 years to get a house on the board. So we started the works to get a new house, and it was built the year we left. So so we left a beautiful school there and went to Hamilton, where my husband was DP at a school there. And 2 years later, we applied for Mark Oharu because it was a model school attached to Wellington Training College. And so my husband started teaching, and I had Bronwyn went to school there, started school there. And then when my son started school there, we had moved in. They began building a new schoolhouse, and it was started in May and finished in August. So that was built right next door to the school, and we moved in there.
What year would this have been?
That had been 1968, I think, that school was built. I think Robert went in 1966 and I started teaching in 68, and I think that's when we moved. We were in a pool house in Porirua while that was built. Built very quickly.
Was it built well?
Well, yes, it was built well. It was a plain sort of house, but it was well built. And we enjoyed our time in the house. And so we were there until 1974. My husband won a Fulbright scholarship, so we went to Massachusetts for a year. And the first day that he was down at the town hall, and I received a phone call saying, "Do you want to teach?" And of course I didn't have a green card, so I went down, they signed me in, and I taught for the whole year that I was there. Not all the time, I was sort of on call, but they had difficulty getting teachers on call, so I worked right through from kindergarten through to year 8, and also in the special needs area where the children went from 5 to 18. So They had difficulty getting teachers in that area, so the teacher there was thrilled that she had someone who was prepared to take on autistic children and Down syndrome and all those sort of children, which I was quite used to. Yes, we had a wonderful year, and then we came back, and I'm not sure, I think that year, 1975, I think may have been when I applied for the assistant principal's role at Bellevue, and I went to Bellevue School and taught there for, it was a large school in those days, even though it was right next door to Newlands, they were both very large because it was a growing community. And it was a big job. And then from there I went in, I think, 1981 or so, I went to Kandala as the associate principal there. And from there I went to Karoi Normal School, which was probably the highest associate principal role in New Zealand at that time, because of the school was, had about 800 pupils, and being a normal school it was
and of course right next to the teachers college.
So that was a very demanding and interesting job, which kept me going right until I retired.
So you've certainly moved around in your time and taught in many schools.
Interesting to go from a huge school of 800, which I attended and then taught at, and where you were fairly isolated in your classroom. You did produce a workbook which went to the principal every Monday, but you didn't have the association and syndicates and things like that. Although, funnily enough, our little group did get together, which was unusual. But in those days, you were in your classroom, and there wasn't the overall departmental education board supervision that later became the norm. And of course, through the years, education has evolved so much that even now I don't understand some of the things that are going on, because I meet with my three of my senior staff quite regularly, and I'm always sort of asking them, what are you up to now, and they're talking another language, so I don't know.
Thinking back to your decision to go to Oharia Valley School, was that because you were had been teaching, presumably, was it in an urban area in Hamilton?
Yes, and it was.
And was that a difficult decision to make, to return back to a rural area after?
No, we loved working in the country. We loved the interaction with the parents. You're much closer to the parents in a country area. That, in fact, their social life revolves around the school, or it did. Probably not now as much, but it did. And so you knew them not only as parents, but you knew them as friends as well. And we enjoyed that part of country teaching. It also brought us back to the Wellington region. My husband's parents were in Masterton and elderly, and my parents were in Whanganui and elderly. And so we felt that it was a good start. It was promotion, and we loved it. We liked Wellington.
Mm. And so can you recall roughly how many pupils there would have been at the school when you were there?
Not very many. When we started, I think it rose to 31.
Just within one class?
Or in one room, the old room, which is still standing. And my husband and I taught in the one room together with our students as well, because they came out in a taxi every day and went back to town in a taxi, or to Johnsonville at least. And then my husband moved down when it got too big. My husband moved down into the hall and taught there for some time until another classroom was built, the new room was built, which I moved into. He moved back into the old one. And then later on, we had a third classroom, a prefab, brought in and put in on the other side of the driveway. because the role grew and grew.
And so was the community just expanding? Were there simply more children around, or were you starting to pull pupils in from a greater area?
It did expand because Mr. Cameron divided up some of his land into 10-acre blocks. The first one to do that was, I think, a Mr. I haven't got the name quite right here, Alcocker, who divided some land up around the crossroads. And then Mr. Cameron divided his land up into 10-acre lots, and that brought in people, mainly younger people with families. And
so these were kind of early lifestyle blocks,
yes,
were they?
Yes, very much, very much. It boosted the role, of course, and we did have one or two families who brought children out. Because we had Sarah, and she belonged to the Crippled Children's Society, and
Sarah was a pupil in the
school? Yes, she was had no arms or legs, or she just had one. Saw a photograph there. And she started school, and so when other families heard about Sarah starting school, of course they were anxious for their children to go to school, because there was
who were similarly disabled, had special needs.
Yeah, special needs, and especially those children who had physical disabilities rather than mental, problems, and they had been denied schooling. When Pat and Barry, Pat, Sarah's mother, had a discussion about her coming, Robert rang the education board and said, or I think he may have rung the department as well, and asked what the problems were. And they just said, it's nothing to do with us, it's between you and the parents. And as long as you agree and they agree, because of having to toilet her and everything else. And my daughter was laughing the other day and saying, I remember I always had to go out with Dad, to take it. But that went on for 8 years, and there was not a problem. So it was wonderful. But she had magnificent parents who were so supportive and very down to earth and practical. And so there was never a hiccup. And
so you never received any extra help from the authorities?
No support.
But an
only our wonder. The we did have the men from the hospital who did her limb, who would come out and make sure everything was all right. At one stage, they invented a sort of a bucket with legs that she could sit in, but in actual fact it didn't work, because although she could work it, if she fell it was dangerous, and so we gave that up quite quickly, although at Sarah's request. But Sarah was very intelligent and loved school, and we just found ways to it was very easy. My husband just put two wide elastic bands around the desk lid. I just put a book in there, and she was away laughing, and she had the most wonderful handwriting. Yeah. And she could write very quickly. So we never saw any problems. Perhaps the only problem was when we had visiting schools and the children were not used to her, and so they would stare. And I remember when she was about 10, we were having a school to visit, and she said to my husband, "Do you mind if I stay inside today?" She said, "When these groups come, they always stare at me." So we said, "No, not at all." And she just stayed inside, and that was fine.
Her fellow classmates were very accepting of her.
Oh, absolutely. She was just part of the school. I mean, when we had running races, she was pushed by my husband in a pushchair. We went through quite a few pushchairs, I think. And she went swimming in her, she had floats and things. And there was nothing that she didn't participate in. And No, it was great. Mm.
So was there a swimming pool within the school?
Not when we went there. That was another thing. We raised money. We raised money at every school we went to for swimming pools. We raised money and it was built, and of course it was maintained. It had to be maintained, and my husband did that throughout the time we were there. And I don't know whether it's still there or not. I went out to visit, but the gates were locked, padlocked, and I couldn't get onto the property, so I didn't manage to see. But no, it was. We had fun times. On days when we had a frost, the children would run down the road and jump in the puddles, the frosty puddles, and crack, you know, and then they'd come back and write, or they'd make kites and we'd take them out and fly them, and they'd write about that. And singing was also a big part of our lives, and we used to have a fancy dress in May, and which the children loved. Of course, the folk dancing was part of their PE program. And then in August we used to have an operetta, and all the children took part in that. And then at Christmas we had a Christmas concert, and usually followed by sumptuous suppers each time. And the PTA also held a cabaret in I think it was probably in August sometime in the winter, and that raised money, I think, for our swimming pool and various other
things. So this was pulling in the wider community,
yes,
was it?
Yes, to everybody in the valley had friends elsewhere, so yeah. You know, they'd make up a party, and they were fun. They were great fun. Mm. Lovely. Everyone enjoyed them. But there are also other things. We formed a PTA, and the parents would come along, and maybe we'd have speakers, or we'd talk about things that they wanted to discuss. And it was a very close community in those days. Everybody knew everybody, and in fact quite a few of our ex-pupils live in the valley still, so it's a very nice extension of Johnsonville, really. It's still very countryfied. I drove out there recently and I'd forgotten how far it was. You got so used to going in and out that you didn't notice the distance. And it was the first time I'd been out for so long, and I thought, oh, it's a long way. When's the school coming up? And I'd forgotten all the bends. But then when it came back, it all came back. Yeah. So
you talked about the school, expanding with the subdividing that was going on and so forth. What sort of numbers did the school get up to?
Well, we became a three-teacher school. I think we became a two-teacher at 31, and I think probably it was up in the 60s when we became a three-teacher school. And it was really good when we became a three-teacher school, because the children had more, not competition, but more children of their own age to work with, and to challenge them, I suppose. And after we left, I believe the children were encouraged to go into Johnsonville Intermediate. Now, I don't know, that was just, I heard that they were encouraged, but so that the school went down in numbers then as well.
And so then after you left, the role,
yes,
gradually started to fall.
It did, yes, and then the end they closed.
And then sadly the school closed. Mm. Do you know when that may have occurred?
No, I can't remember exactly.
And did you, was there many sort of rural-focused activities, like the classic calf day? Were these sorts of a farm animal kind of day? Were those sorts of things there?
Not exactly. Not in the sense that lots of schools have those calf days and things like that. I think we may have had one or two, I'm not sure. So
And was there a school bus run? Because the valley's quite long when you get in there.
Yes. I think a taxi used to take the secondary school children into Johnsonville, and they would bring our student teachers back. But I think it was the children mainly came in with the parents, and I think they carpooled. We didn't have a school bus, not like when we were in Makauri, where we did have a school bus. Mm. No, so it's more parents bringing their children or...
And then after completing their primary and initially at least intermediate education, would the pupils then go on to, would Onslow be the
Onslow, the main school? Yes, it was. For most of them, although our son went on to Wellington College, and although we may have moved by then, but yes, Newlands, some of them went to Newlands, and some went to boarding school.
I see, yes. Oh, yeah, that classic rural sort of upbringing.
Well, the girls mostly,
off to the boarding school.
That's right. Yes, one of the special things about Ohariu was the environment, which we were able to use. Before we had a swimming pool, Mr. Bryant would bulldoze out a corner of the stream, which was across the road and through a paddock, and we would take the children swimming there and taught them to swim in the pool, which was quite amazing. And on a fine day, if we made kites, we could take them up onto the top of the hill and fly them. When the mushrooms were appearing, we could go and pick mushrooms. Or it was just an environment where you were free to do these things, like jumping in puddles that were covered in ice and cracking them, and then going back to school and writing about it. We were able to encompass very fully all of the curriculum subjects. Music was a very big thing for us. Physical education was big for us. Some of our children went into Johnsonville to participate in rugby and things like that. And I think we did have a rugby team at one stage. And I think it was that total educational experience.
Very rounded.
Very rounded. And I must say, the children were great, and we really enjoyed working with them. It was just like a big family.
Did you feel it was something a little bit lacking when you went to work in more urban environments? Was it something that you missed?
Yes, you didn't get that that same closeness with the families. It was almost as if the whole family were part of the educational process, and they were so involved. Although I have to say that the people in the larger schools that I was involved with were very very interested, but most of them now are both working, so they weren't able to be so involved as our parents in Ohariu were, when most of the wives were, you know, at home, busy and doing things, interesting things, but they were always there when we needed them. I forgot to mention, we would have a picnic, and I can remember going, one of our picnics was up on in Kapiti Coast at Parapram or somewhere. I've got photographs of us all there, and we would have running races and things like that on those occasions. And no, we had a huge variety of things that we were able to do, and I think the children did very well. A lot of our children are very successful now, and it's nice to witness that and see that.
And you still see some of them occasionally?
Yes.
Those who recognise a few
Well, yes,
around?
I do. I haven't spoken to her for a while, but Vivian Harris is a Johnson Bull vet, and she's often on the morning program on TV as a vet, and she takes I enjoy seeing her there with her dog and various animals that she takes in, and I still see a few of the people that were parents of children that we taught, and it's nice to catch up, but of course they're all adults now with their own families. So time passes so quickly. But no, it was a wonderful time in our lives.